your host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time. Welcome, everybody, to the Resilient Minds Podcast. I'm super excited to be sitting here with a great friend, an amazing human being, Mr. Jared Yellen. Welcome to the show, my brother.
Yo, man, it is an honor. I saw this today, and I was like, I'm going to be with Eric today? Like, it's going to end my day that way? Like, I couldn't be happier, bro. I'm so excited to see that smiling face. I can feel the mission. You're making me sweat through Zoom, so that's the real deal. So let's do it.
I appreciate you, bro, man. Honestly, guys, this man has been doing so much, and talk about a man on a mission. I want to share a little bit about him. There's so much that there's to acknowledge, but really specifically, you know, Jared is motivated by creating lasting change and impact in this world. He's the ultimate entrepreneur. You know, after his parents divorced when he was 5, the vision to create freedom for himself and for everyone in his life became literally his catalyst, the catalyst. He ultimately achieved this accomplishment through launching, you know, a variety of companies, including a reverse mortgage platform, a personal training business, a health and wellness franchise, and even traveling as a motivational speaker. Dedicated to his passion, creating freedom for others, Jared founded Siduit from his 2-bedroom apartment. And driven to take this success a step further, he turned his girlfriend, now his wife, and profoundly stated to her, he said, "Listen, Lindsay, I will solve a marketing challenge for 1 million people." And this is the coolest thing, is spending time on understanding that how that's continuing to evolve. You know, at the time, the vision seemed rather far-fetched to many, but nothing remains out of reach for any of us. You know, this man is a clear man on a mission. You know, through grit and determination, he's been able to launch a multi-million dollar software platform while growing an exceptional team of entrepreneurs at Siduit without any outside capital. And the Siduit mission is simple: unite 1 million change maker entrepreneurs so that together they can help create freedom for 1 billion people around the world. While being an entrepreneur is in his blood, this man is a man of many arts. You know, he invests a significant amount of time into his relationship with his soulmate, as I said previously, Lindsay, and his daughter, Taylee, and their son, Riker. Together, they're dedicated to living a beautiful, healthy lifestyle, always seeking out to improve themselves and develop the latest personal development businesses and programs around the planet. Blessing to have you gentlemen, you amazing dude. I love you. I'm blessed to call you a great friend and excited to you know, really expand on how we can serve the audience and the world here on this platform. So bless you, bro.
Thank you, man. Thank you for that intro, and let's do it. Let's add some value.
Let's do it, bro. It's all about adding value. So, you know, resilient minds, right? You know, the foundation, how I always believe the Resilient Minds Podcast is so important, but most importantly about creating it from our experiences, which I like to call our X factor. You know, our X factor and how it contributes to our why, our purpose. So maybe there's, you know, a few different defining moments that have added up to one main big one, but how has your experience in your life, Jared, through, you know, all your ups and downs, through all your, you know, successes, really contributed to this big why that you continue to push on?
Yeah, know what it is? So I don't even know if I've ever shared this story with you. So when I was 20 years old, I had this epiphany, and the epiphany was, eventually I'm going to be a dad. I knew it wasn't when I was 20, but I knew eventually that was going to happen. And when I started, and the reason I even thought that, Eric, is like you mentioned in the intro, my parents went through a really intense divorce when I was 5. I'm sure there was plenty of worse divorces than my parents, but they read a book called like What Not to Do, and they did all of it. Like, it was just a bad divorce. And so if somebody were to ask me, like, define your childhood in one sentence, I would say loud. Like there was just nowhere to go for peace. So I'm 20 years old and I'm like really deep in this thought process of eventually I'm gonna be a dad. I'm like, what does that even mean? And the word freedom kept showing up for me. And it was time freedom, it was geographical freedom, it was financial freedom. It was the freedom to do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, and as often as I wanted. And as I was thinking about that, I realized there was only one path that I could conceptualize to get there, which was entrepreneurship. That was the only path that would give me the level of freedom that I was not willing to negotiate against myself with. So fast forward to today, 15 years later, I'm 35, and like you mentioned, I have a beautiful daughter named Taylee who just turned 4. We had Elsa come to our house from Frozen for her 4th birthday. And my son is 22 months now, my little rock star Riker. And I have that freedom, time, career, financial, geographical. And it's because of entrepreneurship, but not just because of entrepreneurship. It's because of every life experience that I've had, I yearn to find the silver lining within it. From relationships I've had to partnerships I've had to some of the big wins I've had as an entrepreneur to some of the massive losses I've had, I am fanatical about extracting as much learning as I can from the good, the bad, the ugly, and the indifferent. And then because of that, I can then continue to build out this puzzle for my life. And there's a lot of wisdom when you're willing to go into the depths of the good and the bad. Like even in the good, there's things that you can learn that you may have done differently. And in the bad, there's definitely things that you could have done differently and things you probably have done really well. But for me, I'm not afraid to go deep into it to see what I can uncover so I can become wiser and then more precise and focused in the next thing that I decide to do.
I love that you're sharing that because you know that I just went on this like deep journey by myself, you know, experiencing some pain, and that reflection equals progress. So, and I like that how you added the fact of like, even in the wins, if you reflect, there's, I agree, there's also progress. So how, when people are going maybe through some sort of a circumstance, especially right now, because there's, you know, we're living in some really, really tumultuous times for a lot of the, you know, general population, there's a lot of uncertainty. What would you suggest? When people are so focused around conditions, how can they make the decision to start changing what's within or changing their circumstances rather than focusing on, you know, the things that are happening, the noise?
So to me, and I actually talked about this quite a bit when in March and April when like COVID hit and like it just disrupted things so intensely. I talked about how it was happening for us and not to us. And that's nothing to do with COVID. I mean, that has to do with relationships not working. That has to do with health challenges, death. Like, what if everything in life was happening for you and not to you? Like, what if everything in life was happening for you to gain more clarity, more perspective, become more resilient? What if everything was happening for you to gain access to skills you didn't even know that you had? And the number of Corona success stories, and listen, I am empathetic to the deaths and the discomfort and the loss. I am empathetic to that. So please don't hear this as, oh, everything, you're just, okay, Jared, I get it. Like you've already achieved success. Like you already have the marriage. You already have the kids. No, I'm empathetic. I know people that died. I know people that have suffered. I know people that have lost jobs. In my family, it's happened. So I'm empathetic, but I'm also very practical in the sense that there are going to be seismic opportunities for people that seize this as an opportunity, seizes this as an opportunity for breakthrough, whether it's a new idea, an innovation, finding an inefficiency that exists in your own life or in the world where you can then build a solution. So what I encourage people to do, regardless of their challenge, is to see it as something happening for them, not to them. Find the meeting, but don't just go on this like journey where you're seeking and seeking and seeking. Instead, find something and then execute upon it. Find something and then execute upon it. Your breakthroughs happen because of the actions you take, not the thought of the action. So find something and then execute. And I'm known as this like this extremely fast mover, like especially in entrepreneurship, where like if I have an idea, like it's a new company with a bank account, and we're already launching in like weeks. Like that thing happens quickly because I like to execute to test things versus just thinking about them. I encourage everybody, with whatever challenge you're facing right now, find how it's happening for you and then execute based on that distinction as quickly as possible.
Execution trumps knowledge every day of the week. Absolutely. And I think that several years in the making, you know, you've been on this profound journey to evolve into this level that where you're at. Where was something that changed in your belief system as you grew? What was something that, like, really a defining change that was just like, wow, this is something. Now I know the secret to life. I'm all in.
You know what it was? So I had this, I don't even know where this was derived from. I had this limiting belief, which was I could either be successful as an entrepreneur or I could have a successful and healthy relationship, but I couldn't have both. And this was like a deep ingrained in belief, like belief in me. Like it's what I thought. It was one or the other. And this crazy thing happened to me, Eric, is I met Lindsay 2 weeks before I launched Sidney. And for any like just advice for everybody, probably not a good idea to launch a new relationship with a new company within 2 weeks, because like both of them require, as they should, a lot of like attention and intention. But like I had a feeling Lindsay was the one, or I was certain she was the one, and I knew that I had to pursue Sidney because it was my life mission. So I'm like, yeah, like I'll just take on the weight of the two massive things and do it at the same time. And here's what happened. My belief system won. I went all in on Cindy, but I had no choice. It was very successful very quickly, and my relationship got nothing. And it began to implode. And my moment happened early on in the relationship when I was working like 20 hours a day, like any like entrepreneur, like just pushes and grinds. That's what I look, was my life looked like. I would like literally wake up at 9 and go to bed at 5 in the morning the next day, like very intense. And I remember getting into bed one night around 4 or 5 in the morning. And Lindsay poked me, she was sleeping for hours already. And she said to me, Jared, I feel like I'm an inconvenience to you. And I remember in that moment, what I could have heard that was, is you're so ungrateful, like you don't realize how hard I'm working with you. I could have like retaliated and went after her. I could have started crying, like, oh my gosh, like I can't believe that's how you feel. But I started to smile. I started to smile because that was the exact message that I needed to hear. Because if entrepreneurship was making the person I care about most feel like an inconvenience, then whatever I was doing as an entrepreneur had to change. And it changed radically when I woke up 4 hours later. I committed to her that you'll never feel that way again, and I'm going to prove that you can have it all. Committed. That was it. It was a non-negotiable. All I could see was how can I create a structured life where I can have a thriving relationship, my health can thrive, the business can thrive, and then now I'm a dad, and I can thrive as a dad. That was my defining moment when I realized it wasn't this or that, it was both for me. And I went all in on proving it was possible. And I am fanatical. My team sees this more than anybody else. I'm very open to them on how they can do it too. Because I believe everybody can have it all. You just have to define what you actually want. But it was that line from Lindsay where she literally poked me and said, Jared, I feel like I'm an inconvenience to you.
Bro, you know that speaks like apples to me right now. Like apples to me right now. And that is just like you hit me right, like right in the gut, like right in the heart. I loved it. It just recognizing that. And then when that pain of like, you know, Lindsay telling you, you know, I feel like I could have inconvenienced you, and how it just, you were willing to step up to it. I had, you know, I had to realize it out of actually losing an like a relationship. And that to me is also, you know, the journey, right? And I think that there's so many entrepreneurs out there, you know, men, women, that think that way, because I did up until a few weeks ago, I thought the same way. Absolutely. And I think that the combination, What I realized is the combination, like you said, you can have it all. You can be an amazing entrepreneur and a great, you know, partner and have it all as well. Now, what would you say to somebody right now that is in that tremendous thought process right now and say to them, you know, I don't see it that way. There's no freaking way that I can do one or the other or both together. It's got to be one or the other, because I was there. And, you know, I, if this podcast was maybe a couple months earlier, I probably would have learned a lot. But it is what it is, right? So specifically, I think this is something that so many, I know, you know, I've struggled with it. I know there's so many other people out there that struggle with it. What would you tell somebody that, you know, maybe was in my shoes a couple months ago, or is in those shoes right now?
It's the question is, you have to make a decision, and it's not fair to the relationship to choose both, and it's not fair to you as an entrepreneur to choose both if you don't believe you can have it all. So if that's what's being challenged, seek the one that creates the most joy for you. Because to me, there is nothing more important than peace in life. I recently ended a business venture, and on Father's Day, I was on the beach, like 1 minute from where we live. And my daughter, Taylor, who was like, at the time, was like 3.5 years old. She was laying on my chest and she was breathing on my neck, just relaxing. And my son, who was 1.5 at the time, he was burying me with sand and he was like giggling, Eric, and my phone was nowhere in sight. And in his previous business venture, like that was not possible. And I was looking up at the sun and it hit me. And I realized this is peace. And I won't negotiate against myself ever again. I won't lose this. So for the person that's challenging this belief of you can't have it all, I honor it. You're just not there yet, but make the decision based on what brings you the most peace. What brings you the most joy? So if that's going out and having the most like luscious, wonderful relationship, go all in on that relationship, like all in on it, and have that relationship until you get to a place where you believe you can have it all. And maybe what it ends up looking like is with that partner, you launch a company together. So now like you're actually building your own empire and you're in a relationship. So you're proving you have it all. If it's you as an entrepreneur is what brings you the most joy, all in as entrepreneur, like all in, this is all you know, you're fanatical about it, and then you have a breakthrough where like the business gets to a certain point and you can bring on other people that can then take responsibility off your plate, and you're at a place in your life now where you're like, I want to share my life with somebody, and then you start building that life with that person and you've proven that you have it all. So if you believe right now that it's one or the other, just pick the one that brings you the absolute most joy and peace. And that's the one you go all in on.
Dude, and that is something that I think so many people need to hear, is just like make the decision. Because if you're humming and hawing, you're given 50-50 or 0-0 to both. And that is something that I can completely resonate with myself. So,
it's not fair.
Yeah.
So it's like, so just be decisive and don't look back. Like just be decisive, don't look back, look forward. You were in a position, you and anyone listening to this was in that position for you, not to you, because you were meant to make a decision, and then make the decision. And it's not a decision forever. It's a decision for right now until it's not a decision anymore. And then there's a different decision that's made. But I honor you because I know that you went through a transition, and anybody else out there as well. Just make the decision, and 100% is what's required.
Yeah, bro. Talk about Sinduit, because I honestly, the way that you make me feel right now, and I'm sure anybody that's listening right now, I'm certain that you have this compassion and this love that shows up in your mission about Sinduit. And, you know, that is, you know, you right now you're showing so much support, even, you know, to anybody that's, you know, has been through a situation like this, especially myself. So I'm feeling it. But like, you know, if somebody is going through Sinduit and your mission through Sinduit, describe the process of how those values really show up in your mission, because you're a compassionate dude, you know, you're showing up with heart, you're all in integrity. You're totally focused on the success of it. How do these processes, or these values more so, show up behind the process of what Sinduit has created and continues to elevate to?
So I was interviewed earlier today for a different podcast, and somebody said to me, if you can be remembered for anything, what is it? And I said, I will be remembered as the man who walked their talk. Siduous was that. It's me walking my talk, and it's as a software solution. So give you a little background. I'm a non-tech entrepreneur with tech ideas. That's a rather frustrating place to be, because I have lots of ideas that I can't actually build. Like, there's nothing that I can do to build my ideas. Siduous 9 years old now, Eric. And for the first 3 years, I had to monetize myself, my skill, which is I know how to write marketing copy and I know how to sell. So version one of Siduous was a marketing agency that scaled exceptionally quickly because I'm a really good copywriter. And initially I just sold myself and I had a few very high profile clients and my copy worked. And then everybody wanted to hire me, which meant that I built an agency. But I realized for me, that was a good company. I mean, like, financially, it was way better than good, but it was a good company. And I didn't want good. Like, I didn't want to like settle for good. Like, I wanted epic. I wanted to support a million entrepreneurs. And as an agency, I did the math one day years ago, I have to hire almost 600,000 people to support a million entrepreneurs. And I knew I didn't want to do that. Like, I was certain that that was not the vision to get to the million. So I started thinking to myself, how can I support a million entrepreneurs? And that was when the vision for the software came to me. I just saw this number, but that was a huge risk. I mean, with a big team, big office, 400 clients paying us thousands of dollars a month as an agency. And I had to be willing to let go of good to reach for the potential of epic. Didn't mean I was gonna get there. And a lot of people face this, whether it's in a relationship or your health or business, where like they have a good thing going. And sometimes a good thing is the worst thing because it's so hard to let go of good for the potential of something bigger. And it's not the materialistic side, it's the impact side. But for me, I did it. And I'm a living example of it, because fast forward to today, Siduous has a beautiful team. We have tens of thousands of users on our marketing platform. In just 4 years, we've grown to over 40,000 active users, all small business owners across 30 industries that are able to take the values that myself and my team have instilled in the company, and they're able to then live out those values because our software is creating more freedom for them. We then talk quite a bit about the importance of like making a decision, whether it's business or family or have it all, so they're applying this methodology in their life. So Siduous is an example of that. But recently I had a realization, and the realization was that my time like being the operationalizer of Siduous was over, because I have an amazing team and I wanted to give them the keys to the kingdom. I wanted them to have the ability to lead and take this company to the next level. So I launched a new venture, and this new venture is one that allows me to do what I've done with Siduous, but with hundreds and eventually thousands of companies. It's called Sela Labs, and Sela Labs is a technology incubator where we actually partner with people like me, non-tech entrepreneurs that have tech ideas, and we build their ideas at cost. Because I own a company in India that employs tons of engineers. And what I never want to do is charge somebody $200 an hour for an engineer when I'm paying them $15 in India. Like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to make money that way. So instead, I want to vet the idea. I want to vet the person. I want to vet the ability to reach the market. And if everything checks out, I want to partner with them. I want to have equity in the venture, so that we're aligned with our values, because I've proven that I could scale software. And the loneliest road somebody can take in entrepreneurship is being a non-tech entrepreneur with a tech idea and trying to take that idea and bring it to market. And I know that when you have the right partner and the right team in place, it just becomes significantly more fun. But to answer your question, everything that I do when I say walk my talk, Siduous, Sela is a living, breathing example of it. Because I don't say things unless I'm going to back it up. And I never ask anyone on my team or any of our teams to do anything that I wouldn't do, ever, like ever. And that is, to me, what leadership is all about.
Absolutely. And that is something that, you know, people feel you through, right? Like, by you're walking your talk, it's like that saying, you know, actions speak louder than words. And ideally, you know, this is what's so important as being that conscious leader, right? The conscious leader that really believes in what they're doing, building the team, building, you know, the impact and the influence. So speak to us a little bit about the process behind Sela. Because I'm curious to know a little bit about it, because I know you just launched it. It's kind of like in its incubation phase. Speak to us to behind the process. I'd love to hear. And if anybody's, you know, on listening right now, maybe it's something that speaks to them and they could reach out.
Sure. So it happened because 2 years ago, I realized that I built this extraordinary development team. It was in the US, it was in Canada, and it was also in India. My CTO was originally from India. When I met him, he was living in New York City. He actually lives in Toronto now. We built this incredible team in India, like incredible, like unbelievable. He is someone that has a lot of experience building big teams, mentoring teams, building big products. Problem I was facing was the India team, they were better than the US and the Canadian team, obviously at a better price point as well, but they were all contractors. Even though I hired them directly, like there wasn't a third party in between, they were still contractors. And when you're in India and you're a contractor, you don't get any of the country benefits. So there's like no social security benefits. You can't get a loan from a bank. So like you have to pay cash for cars and houses, and that's not ideal. And I wanted to solve that. I wanted to let them have it all. So I asked Moni, the CTO, I'm like, how do we solve that problem? And he said, there's only one way. It's not for the faint of heart. And if you ask anybody that's going to advise you, they're going to tell you not to do it. So you're going to have to be a complete contrarian, but it's to set up a company in India. And I'm like, let's do it. And I actually talked with a few of advisors and they're like, what are you doing? Like, who are you to set up a company in India? And I'm like, it's what's best for the people. I'm going to do it. And it's literally, Eric, it took me like 2.5 years, almost 3 years to do it. It was extremely expensive. There was all these changes in policy. Like, I mean, it was insanity, but we did it. Like we did it. I set it up. It's been up now for 2 years. I employed the team. And around that time, I started having people approach me because they know that I'm reliable and they knew I have this big tech company in India. They asked me if I would build their ideas. And I always said no. I'm like, that's not why I did this. Like I built this tech division to build Syndicate. Like I didn't do this to like start diversifying ourselves. But over the past few months, I've really just been like soul searching. I'm like, what's my next chapter look like? And that's was when the Celent came to life. So as much as it's like, it's in its incubation, it's new, it's really not. Like it is Syndicate, it's just Celent now. So the team is the team. I just moved it over into a new entity. And in the past 4 weeks, we opened up the portfolio to bring on partners, and we already have four companies that we have launched and are in the build phase. So the process is fascinating. We look for people that live and talk and preach who they are. Like they talk they walk their talk. It's like critical for me. It's like, I don't want anyone that's gonna live a life out of integrity. I think integrity is one word that is universally defined, which is you do the right thing, whether someone's looking or not, like period. Like, that is what it is. 100%. There's no opinions here. Yeah. That is the definition of integrity. So the person to me matters more than anything. The next thing is the idea. Like, is this an idea that's in a red ocean or a blue ocean? What is the inefficiency that this idea solves for? Like what's inefficient that we can then build a technical solution to make it efficient for people? So for example, one of the ideas is in the space of referrals. I believe that the industry of referring business to one another is wildly inefficient. If you were to come to me, Eric, and say, hey, Jared, I'm writing a book. Do you know a good book publisher? I'm like, yeah, Patty's like the best in the world. Can I connect you? You'd be like, yeah, of course, please. And I'll ask you, like, do you want me to connect you through email or text message or Facebook Messenger or Instagram or LinkedIn or WhatsApp? And you're like, yeah, just an email, that works. So I go and I record an intro video to connect the two of you. I have to load it to YouTube to then send an email to you and Patty. The problem is Patty doesn't do email. She only does text. So she's not even seeing that this connection is taking place. You keep emailing Patty, she's not responding. It falls out of your bucket, it falls out of her bucket. I have no visibility. Inefficiency in the space of referrals. We're building a software solution to actually create efficiency, optimization to make referrals even easier. Just an example. So we address the type of inefficiency the idea can solve for. Once we do that, we bring in our tech team so that they can assess viability. Viability does not mean can it be done, because everything can be done. Viability for us is defined as what is viable in 30 days, 60 days, and 90 days. We won't take on any product that takes more than 90 days to build minimum viable. Minimum viable at most should be 90 days. This is for any of you out there that are trying to build tech companies. If you're on anything after 90 days, you've overdeveloped it. And now you're guessing versus building just enough high quality, not duct taped together, like a good product, but maybe not every feature in the world, just starting with a few, so you can start to monetize it and gather data for it. If you're gonna raise capital, that would be a good time to raise it once you actually get to the point of minimum viable. So we wanna make sure we can build something in 90 days. We then present this to the potential co-founder. If they love what they see, we work on the mechanics of our deal, we launch the new company together, and we have everything in-house. We have counsel, we have business management services, we have sales and marketing services, PR services, development. So this truly becomes a partnership for the right person that is everything they dreamed of and more, because it's gonna take their idea and bring their idea to life. So that's what Sela does. What's most rewarding for me right now, Eric, is we have four companies in 4 weeks, so it's pretty fast. Every one of these ideas is disruptive. They could be a unicorn. I mean, they're incredible upside potential. But the most rewarding is that these ideas would never see the light of day if we didn't connect with these co-founders. Because they're such great people with such great ideas, but they didn't even know where to begin. And they didn't have like hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars of resources to invest in these ideas, nor would they. So the fact that we can do it together, and it's a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of the investment, plus the direction that we can bring as their compass, it's a match made in heaven. So that's the process.
And you have tremendous already, like, because you've already, you know, been in the market for so long, that's literally how you founded Synduit. So now all of a sudden you're able to really bring that, you know, guiding light forward for any new entrepreneur or somebody that's really creative and just doesn't know the foundation. And I think that that's tremendous value that you're willing to, you know, give to the world, especially with the resources. You know, it's always about resourcefulness and how we can establish that so we can evolve it. And I believe that, you know, the way that you show up, obviously you've been doing it for so long, but that is something that is so necessary in the current marketplace, especially now as we continue to evolve the place of business to the online platform, you know. And so
right, like when I say COVID happened for us, not to us, the amount of innovation that's going to happen because of this is unlike any time in human history. Like, and it's either you're going to watch it and complain, or you're going to be part of it. Like, this is a, I mean, listen, people are sick, suffering, dying. I get it. I'm empathetic to it. So I'm like, well, let's just put that on the side, because like that is something that we can't control. But what we can control is what we do with this opportunity that stands before us right now. And I deeply believe that this world needed a recalibration, which is like what this is.
Yeah.
It's been recalibrated.
And create more freedom as a result through this recalibration.
Massively forced upon us because nothing else was going to do it. And Now there's a lot of inefficiencies that have been exposed. And technology will solve those inefficiencies, not by making people connect less, but making them connect more within this new norm. So for any of you out there, like, if you had this idea, and like everybody in your world is like, that's so far-fetched, A, make new friends, but B, it's not far-fetched. Like, we are literally building four companies in 90 days. And by the end of this year, we'll have at least a dozen or more. And then the next year, we'll have over 100. And these are like companies, not like a little mobile app. Not to say little mobile apps aren't great, but that's not what these are. But these are actual like entities where we're hiring executive teams, and we'll do additional funding rounds. We have access to investors. Like, these are real companies. So don't let anyone say that your innovation right now is far-fetched. There is no better time than right here, right now, to execute on your innovation, because most of the world is not, unfortunately, not going to hear this podcast. So they're just going to sit around remaining stagnant. You, someone listening to this, this is your chance. This is your opportunity. Seize the day and take massive action.
Carpe diem. Yes, I love it. So, you know, it's all about, you know, like we talked about earlier, execution, especially during a time like this. Now, when individuals really have opposite, you know, points of view, and they're really, really approaching with resistance when you're thinking this way, because trust me, you know, and I know that there's tons of people, you know, sitting there saying to us, this is so unfair and all these things. How do you respond to that, Jared?
Yeah, it's funny. So like I'm like one of the most like empathetic, not empathetic people I know. Cause like I am really empathetic. Like I like deeply, deeply care. I feel for people. Like I'm like emotionally, I'm like when we started talking, like I felt your pain, man. Like I so, but I cannot tolerate people that live in their victimhood. Like I just can't. I have no empathy in that space whatsoever. At all, like I will try, like, and I will deploy some to see if like they're open, but if they're not, I do not try to muscle my way through. I used to, this is like one of my like big life lessons was like, I genuinely thought like back in the day, I don't know if I told you, I'm a natural bodybuilder. I was ridiculous back in the day. Like how you probably nice, still are, nice. I was like that.
Yeah, like, I love
it. I used to incline bench 400 pounds. Like I was
wow,
like ridiculous. And I'm feeling it now, like my back goes out way too often because of it. But I used to believe I could muscle my way through anything and everything, like through people's problems, through company problems. Like I realized this, I said one day, I'm willing to sweat, I'm just not willing to bleed. And that has to do with helping people, that has to do with business, that's to do with everything. What that looks like is many people will like muscle their way to success. And like they'll get there maybe, but like they're busted and they're bruised and they're bleeding and it's just like not worth it. But what sweat looks like is hard work. Like sweat feels good. Like sweating is healthy, right? Like sweating is a detoxification. It feels good when you do that. So that's like my paradigm. That's the way I look at everything. Like if something's gonna force me to blood, like to bleed to get there, I'm not in. If it's sweat, if it's hard work, I'm game on. So for any of you that are like stuck in victimhood right now, like you're unsure of like, I don't know, like this sounds good. Maybe this is hyping. It's not hyping. Like, I hate to break it to you. Like, Eric, you're a seize the day type of dude. You're about to have the biggest year of your life. Like, and I mean it personally and professionally. Like, personally and professionally, the next 365 for you, literally, and you have some, your past 365 was pretty big too, right? And the one before that was pretty big too, right? This next is like 10x that. Like, it's so much bigger. Like, because you're a seize the day dude. And like any of you dudes or dudettes listening to this, like if you're the seize the day person, like no hype, this is the best next 365 for you. The best. Could there be challenges that emerge that you don't expect? Of course. But if you're a seize the day person, you look at that as an opportunity to grow more. You look at that as an opportunity to pause to then speed up. Like I love when all of a sudden I'm thrown with a challenge I didn't expect, it forces my pause. Like I honor it. I'm like, okay, force pause. Happened for a reason. Why did it happen? Oh, wait a second. I was going full steam ahead into a wall. Like that pause helped me see that there was a door like one step away from the wall that I could open and now I can go and I can execute with precision. So what, mark my words, we're on August 18th.
Bro, right you gave me goosebumps when you said that. Like goosebumps, like woo! I honestly feel it, man. And this is so important. It's like really seizing the day and taking the next, 12 months, 365 and doubling down, going all in and being so focused on what you can create this moment for the future. You know, you've given us such a profound path to success. You know, you've given so much value today. What would you say would be one reason why people fail, Jared?
It's the whole concept of quitting one step before success. So like there's a saying, which is the most potential in the world resides in the graveyard. The greatest ideas in the world reside in the graveyard. It's just people that are so afraid to execute. Whether it's the fact that they're still living with the story of, I'm not strong enough, I'm not good looking enough, I'm too fat, I'm not smart enough. Like whatever, like I wrote an article on this recently and it's called Everyone Has a Ms. Hayde. Ms. Hayde was my sophomore honors high school English teacher. And I was not the typical honors English student by any means. I didn't read the books, I didn't care for the books, I didn't care to sit in the classroom, but I was a really good writer. And Ms. Hayde accused me of plagiarism, which is a really big offense when you're in high school. And it led to a meeting with my parents and the head of the English department, principal and superintendent, Ms. Hayes. And my dad said, what made you think he plagiarized? Because, like, obviously I have nothing to hide now, so I did not plagiarize, I heard, for the record.
Yeah,
and she said, because the work was too good to be Jarrett's. He's unfortunately not a good writer. Now, I could have easily taken that and believed it to be true. And if I did, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Because I have published tens of thousands of pieces of content over time. Like, tens of thousands. Because, like, probably more content than most people have. Because I've written ghost content for behind the scenes for Cindy and for People. And, like, I've published thousands of blog articles across all different companies. Like, I have written quite a bit of content. If I were to have believed Ms. Haid, none of this would have happened. We all have a Ms. Haid. So the reason most people don't have what they want is because they allowed the story that Ms. Haid tried to download into my life, they allowed their Ms. Haid to download some story into their life about what they are not, versus them taking control of their life and writing their own story. And that's the only reason I believe people don't have what they want, is there's some story inside that they've chosen versus just writing their own story.
It's time to rewrite it, make it happen, and create it. This is the time. Brother, you know, you've given, again, so much tremendous value, and you've been on this beautiful journey. You continue to be on this profound, you know, evolution. If somebody is wanting to know more about, you know, what you're doing, how they can connect more, how can they really understand more about, you know, the Sila or Sinduit, what can they do to connect with you? How can they really reach out?
My website, jarrettyellen.com, would be really the best place. Everything is free. Like, and I have blog articles on there. People are like, these are like books. So, like, they're long. Like, but I just don't hold back when I get started. I have tons of resources on there that'll support you. They're free. All the links to all my companies are there as well. So if, like, Sila is something that makes sense for you, like, please, like, fill out the application. Like, the team will get in touch with you and talk your idea through. At some point, we'll talk about your idea as well. But Jared Yellen, like, I'm yelling at you with no G. So jarrettyellen.com. Head there, check it out. Enjoy the articles. There's one that I recently wrote, which I think will really resonate with this group. It's called Program Your Code. Codes are the reason why I have what I have. I think values are great, but values to me are written typically because you want the world to know you have values. Your code is something that only you know exists. It's internal to you. It's how you live your life. And I dissected how I did it. And it's been something that people have just loved going through. So go check it out. Everything on there is free. It's jarrettyellen.com.
Beautiful. And I'll add it into the show notes too for anybody that's listening on the road right now. Brother, last question for you before we go, before we wrap it up. If you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
I'd be with my kids for every second of those 3 days. I let them sleep because there's nothing I love more than watching my kids sleep. And I do it every night. I sneak in, much to my wife's dismay, because she's like, you're going to wake them. I'm like, it's okay. And I just watch them. So I would not do anything other than spend my 3 days with my kids.
I love it, man. Jared, blessings to you, bro. Thank you so much for everything. Do you have any last words or comments or statements you want to share?
August 18th, 2021. Put in your calendar now. We're going to talk, and you're going to tell me, Jared, you had a freaking crystal ball, because those 365 were by far the best 365 of my life. So that's my final comment to you.
I love you, bro. I really do. Thank you so much for everything, man. You're a blessing.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to the Resilient Minds podcast. If you seriously love the episode, please be sure to share it with your friends and click that subscribe button. Do it now! As I continue to grow, I'll be bringing on some leading entrepreneurs into the show. So follow me on Instagram or Facebook and drop a comment or send me a DM. Tell me who you'd love for me to interview and who you'd like to hear more from. Once again, Eric Valens signing off. And remember this, your X factor always determines your Y factor.